And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 212. Welcome to Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. I'm Silas Lindenstein, and I am your host. And welcome to this Seven Questions episode. Today's seven questions are with Tacoma / Seattle based comedian Jackie Turgeson. Jackie is a very funny comic. I mentioned in the podcast that in the interview that I've never seen her do comedy. To clarify that, I've never seen her in person do comedy. I've seen videos. She's posted clips and other people have posted clips. So I've seen her do comedy, but I've never seen her in person. So I don't get the live energy. So sometimes I think it's like when you listen to an album, like you might say, yeah, I've never seen Aerosmith or whomever. I've never seen Bobby Brown, but you've heard them. You've watched them on TV, just never seen them in person. So that, to clarify that point in there. But we had a lot more in common than I even expected. I've become like a fan of hers over online, knowing each other a little bit there. And so I had her on a little bit ago. And it's time for that episode to drop. I'm trying to do these seven questions. I need to alternate in my life right now. 1 week doing Black and a Half seven questions or whatever it is. And then the other week I do my other podcaster watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein. That one is dropping the alternating weeks. And I'll try to amp back up to four times a month. But it's a lot for Lindenstein. Okay. I got a lot on my plate. Doing a lot of projects, but you're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein. That is sort of under the Black and a Half umbrella anyway, where you listen to discussions, the book clubs, the film clubs, the reviews that get published on the site, the reviews that go on the podcast and the video cast. So it's all over, folks, everything. And this is Black and a Half Productions has a YouTube channel. So you can check out, try to post that link on the website post of this. So you can catch me all over the place there. Hey, it's been a busy weekend though. This past weekend was Emerald City Comic Con. It's the 2023 Comic Con at the new convention center. And that was exciting. This was the seventh edition of Real Nerds of Comedy, the show that I put together that celebrates nerds, doesn't make fun of them, celebrates them and celebrates the things that us geeks like. And I premiered a song there called Call Me a Nerd. I think that's what I'm calling. That's a tentative title, at least. I played the ukulele, and I'm going to be performing that around town over the next month and down Olympia, I believe, if things go right. But I will be turning this into a rap. That's the end goal of it. So I'm going to do rap, maybe do a music video. Who knows? Things can go crazy, but I'm going to try to do a TikTok of it, get it going out there, build up some ampedness about it. I got to play it perfect. And so at some point, I don't know, I'll do a video in here with the green screen that I got and see if people like it. Hopefully they do, or they just make fun of me. Either way, you know, that's how I roll, basically. So, yeah, but Emerald City Comic Con was fun and a little complication with tickets as people were following me on Facebook. So hopefully they'll let me back next year. And hopefully we can get a bigger room, you know. Now that we're at the new convention center, there's the Pine Theater. I'll have my eye on that. I noticed it was empty a lot during the day. But, you know, we, the last couple years at least of this Real Nerds of Comedy show, we have been not selling out, it's a free show, but they not only just standing room, I've been finding out that people can't even get in. They're stopping people from coming in, say it's all full. So I think we need a bigger spot than just the panel room. I think we need a theater, right? There, they got a stage. They got a little theater for people. I don't know how many it fits. I gotta go see, but though it does make me nervous. Like, what if you move into there and then not as many people go? That could be embarrassing. But I don't think that's the case, because some of these shows get filled up with people. You shouldn't bring kids to our show. It's like PG-16 is what I call it. But who knows? Who knows what the powers that be will do? It's in my opinion, I think we should have a bigger stage for it. Maybe I'm going to start applying to other places, see if they'll bring us. I don't know. I feel like I should get paid. Or maybe, you know what? I brought a bunch of my comedy t-shirts. I might even make a t-shirt for Real Nerds of Comedy. Bring that, sell that. People buy it, make some money. That's what I'm saying. Anywho, Emerald City Comic Con. It's a tradition for me and my family, and I want to keep going. I'm gonna keep going. There's always something different. I wasn't able to get to like panels, and I missed the one. I wanted to see Mark Ruffalo, and I wasn't able to make that. So next year I'm gonna make a point. I gotta do a little better balancing with the family and everything. So, but hey, and a big shout out to everyone who came to my show to see Real Nerds of Comedy. Appreciate the support of all of you. It keeps me going. I even got messages this year. That was kind of cool on Instagram and Facebook from people that saw the show and really liked it. Or I got tagged on Instagram. That was kind of cool by somebody I don't know who's not booking me on a show. That doesn't happen a lot. So a lot of good things coming from it. And that makes it feel like a worthwhile endeavor. Let me tell you that. So, that's the main thing going on. I got a lot of film. I'm going to be dropping a lot of reviews on the website, though. I drop them on Black and a Half too for some of them, but you're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein. There's a lot of movies coming out and some reviews that I've had to hold on to that will be dropping. So please check those out. And yeah. And stay tuned, subscribe, and I'll be churning out as much content as I possibly can. It's just, you know, you follow me, you know how crazy my life is. And now it's soccer season. Though strangely, the busier I get, sometimes the more content I produce. I don't know why. Focuses me. I don't know. And I got injured. I got an injured hip, if you've been following that. Not a hip. It's like a hip muscle. That's where it is. It's like the butt, really. I call it, say hip on the paperwork. I call it the butt. So I haven't been able to get to the gym like I have been. And that's emotionally tough because I get nervous, because every other time that I did weight gains have been after an injury. So I'm trying to keep it going and not fall into the traps I did in the past. So wish me luck and success. But in the meantime, I think it's time to get, well, in a moment to get to this interview. I do want to give a big shout out to the Patreon supporters, everybody out there for supporting this show, supporting me, showing that you care by being a Patreon member. You too, for as little as $1 a month, could become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners. You listening right now, you could do that. Little $1 a month, show your support. Or you could be an Inner Circle member for a little bit more, a few more dollars a month. An Inner Circle member, like Tara Wiedner, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. You can join us, support us, help make all this happen. Keep me afloat. If you care about children, and mine in particular, you'd become a Patreon supporter. I'm just kidding. That feels wrong. But if it's effective, I'll keep doing it. Anyway, thank you to all the Patreon supporters, and thank you for listening. Listen, like, subscribe, do all that stuff. It does make a big difference. Help me blow up into the, not just the universe, to the metaverse. I don't know where the metaverse is, but I would like to go there. Okay? So make that happen. But right now, I want you to put your, to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 212, Seven Questions with Jackie Turgeson. Well, I don't know. You're so far. You are so far in the game. You're
people
everywhere.
Might recognize me, I guess.
This is a short podcast. This is now. It's now a short podcast. Okay. But let me, because I wanted to talk to you because you seem to, like, they talk about Supermom before, who was like, you know, working 9-to-5 corporate and then here. But what I think of Supermom is someone that can manage to do stand-up comedy and still keep popping babies out and then keeps going back to it. It's like, you never know when people who are married start doing comedy, if it's because the marriage is in trouble. Because there's people who start doing comedy.
Or the marriage will be in trouble because of comedy. It's one or the other.
No, people come do it because they're in trouble. That's right, what they do. Like,
so true. People,
I guess it does mess. It can, to a degree, change a huge dynamic in somebody's life of, well, I got to go do this and what's not. It's easy if you were already an entertainer or doing it when you met somebody that's like, that's what you signed up for, Mr. or lady. Right.
Right.
I don't have this all not all covered up like I thought I was. Because I moved it. Smart Silas. Okay. So how do you do it all?
Well, the thing that made me laugh so hard was that you said that I manage to do it. I don't. There's nothing being managed here. It's like trying to manage being a mom and do comedy. It's like a guy who is like sure that he can juggle, but like he clearly can't and is dropping all the balls.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like sometimes.
When I was doing comedy, when I was the grinding, I felt like I was like one, the only parent there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You're like, you go to Tacoma. So most of people there are parents, it seems. So I'm up in Seattle, a lot of single.
I was going to say, not all the people in Tacoma know their parents, but most of them are.
Or are allowed to see their child. One of the two.
Right, exactly.
But like, I was like the only parent and felt lonely. And when I would meet an occasional new parent, it'd be like, oh, hi, how are you? How do you do this? Because like, my spouse is so supportive. And as I was getting into it, she started offering to watch my daughter for my previous marriage, you know, to do it. And I mean, comedy is what my future kids that I had ended up being a reason I was like, I'm going to stop traveling because I didn't want to be I didn't like the weekend I was away from my daughter after she was born and she was like 2 months old. And I was like, nah, no, this is, this was already not as fun as I imagined. like, I mean, telling the jokes on stage is fun, but just the being in another town and you perform for 30 minutes and the rest of the time you're just kind of hanging out around it.
Right.
Wasn't as exciting as I thought it would be. And so like, I don't know. So then I was like, now I'm just here missing my child from far away.
Right.
So, and maybe it's different if you're a full-time comic, you got stuff to do all day, right? Send emails, book yourself. But I was just, you know, featuring, doing whatever. So, then I was committed to being local. Are there lines or balances that you've done as a mom to say, not for me or?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. So you talked about how hard it is, like how much easier it is to get into this when like you've already been doing it before you were married.
Yeah.
And I chose the hard road on like twice, because I got into it when I was already married. I'd been married for, I don't know, I can't do the math, but a while.
Yeah.
And I had just had my second child and he was 6 months old. So mm-hmm. I got into it already being married and already being a parent. And I feel like that's the hardest way to, like, it's way easier to do those things after the fact. Mm-hmm. So it was, it's been a long journey for me to find like balances and boundaries, like personal boundaries. Because like, you know, when you're first starting to kind of get your foothold and you're getting like booking inquiries, it's like, I want to do them all because like, this is so exciting, you know? And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And being at home with my kids all day, it was like such a good outlet to be like, wow, no one has thrown anything at me in 20 minutes, as long as my set was good, you know, sometimes a few tomatoes. but actually like my, my husband is extremely supportive. I obviously could not do it without him. And he's a musician.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah. So he also has a full-time job. So we're all burning the candles at all the ends and trying to find ways to like me have my outlet, him have his creative outlet, our kids feel loved and nurtured and prioritized. Cause I haven't been the best, like it's been a growing experience. So I wouldn't say that I was like bad at it. I just would say I had to do a few things wrong in order to learn how to do it right.
As a parent or as a...
All of it. But I mean, like, as far as learning how to balance, like whatever. But I will say I have this, like, for the most part, I've been just Pacific Northwest, like Idaho, Washington, Oregon. And then this year, I'm hoping to travel a little bit more and do some more festivals outside of the Pacific Northwest. But that was like one of the things that like, okay, I'm not really traveling this past year. It was kind of nice too, because I had my baby, my last baby during COVID, and it was like, nobody could do anything. So like, it was great because while I could advance in my career, nobody else could either.
Nobody else could. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Parenting though. I mean, look, I kind of figure it's not like you can win. Right? Like part of me is like, well, you can't, what are you doing wrong? How could you be wrong? Because it's like, you don't know until after the fact, and you don't have the same child each time, right?
Right.
And your kids never have the same parents, right? Because the second child has parents that already had a kid, right?
That's so true.
The third kid already has parents that had two kids. Like, they have a different experience every time, and they act a little different. A little, you know, to a degree at least. So it is a built-in failure. Like, you can't win, but I mean, you can't really, you don't lose as long as you kind of keep them alive and prosperous and feeling loved, right? As long as they feel loved. And totally. you know, it's always this act too, like where you say your kids are going to have the best time if you, one, are happy and love yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to feel in a secure relationship as long as you love your partner. And they say you got to put your partner and yourself first before the kids, which is not a natural instinct. You know, we want to protect them. But if you don't if you take care of yourself and your partner, they grow up to be in a happy home. And that's what they take away. Right. They'll be like, I wish mom was around for this. But I hear a lot of misery from people who mom was around all the time, unhappy, because unhappy or and dad too, unhappy dad, unhappy mom sitting there, and then they leave you.
Right.
Right. They're going regardless of how happy of a home it was. They out of here.
Right.
At some point, you hope if you did your job, they're going to be able to go somewhere. And then you're like, oh, well, all these years I didn't do anything I wanted to do. And
exactly.
Now I'm alone. So you get started or whatever. What is your goal? Like, since you're in the Northwest, is it tempered from people in LA, or like, what do you want out of this?
Yeah. I want to be the best ever that's ever done it.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm so competitive even with myself. So a lot of times when I do any sort of like vision board or goals, I like do like, you know, I let all of that out and I'm like, all right, now let's not realistic, because I want my dreams to be like crazy, like to go for it.
Yeah.
But I have to be like, okay, Jackie, like, let's like really think about this. But I don't know if the Pacific Northwest is forever. I'd mm-hmm. like to like do what I can out of this area as much as I can, travel or whatever. And this can be a home base, but I don't know if it's forever. I would love to do acting. That's actually how I got my entertainment start, is I grew up acting.
Did you?
Yeah. So I did like a lot of plays and musicals and stuff. And that's kind of my first love. So I'd love to do that, but I would just love to be as successful as I can in stand up. I love it. I love the craft of it. I love the community. I just literally love every single part of it, mostly. And so I just want to be doing it successfully as long as I can.
Did you go to like college for theater, or did you?
I started college for theater, but then, I didn't finish that. So I would say about the time I dropped out of college, I went back and finished, but it was like a bogus degree. I mean, it wasn't, but it was like, I don't use it now. But that was the time I stopped acting. And then I didn't really have too much of a creative outlet after that. I moved to Tacoma and I was like, I got to do some improv, because I took a few, classes in Seattle, and I was like floored at how much I loved it. And so I came down here, and there was one troupe in the whole city. And I was like 8 months pregnant at the time, and their shows are like at 11, and it was just wasn't a good fit. Anyway, yeah. That's why I got into stand up. Is I was like, wow, I would like to be
those early nights.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I was like, I would like to be the only one on stage getting the glory. No, I'm kidding. I don't want to depend on anybody else here. You guys are slowing me down. No. I don't remember what the question was. But
it was, I had asked about college if you've done theater, and you're telling me, that's so you would like to act again.
Yeah, no. I would love to. Yeah. I'd love to take classes and all that jazz.
I mean, I've directed 3 48-hour film projects. Maybe.
Well, this is a good, I'll send
out.
You my resume.
We'll do it
after this. I don't have a resume.
Yeah, right. There's I've used, you know, Samantha Run, comedian, actor. Yeah. She's been in. I've had comedians in like everything that I've done. Like,
that's so cool.
So finding comics really that actually have an acting background is a little more like, oh, hey, someone who actually can. I don't have to explain what a mark is every time why you can't talk during that scene. we're going to talk more after this. Hey, what do you have? Do you have anything big coming up? Any events in the next month here that people should know about? Any, a book coming out, anything?
No books. I do. I run a monthly show in Tacoma. It's the second Wednesday of every month, called The Laughing Elk at McMenamin's. That's it. We just had our last one, or we just had one last night, but we have one on February 8th. I'm so excited. Paige Welton is going to headline, and she wrote for The Late Late Show, and she has like a ton of awesome credits, and she's hilarious. Other than that, I'll be at Tacoma Comedy Club on Valentine's Day. I'm kind of all over the place, but yeah, I've got some fun stuff coming up.
That's good. That's great.
Yeah.
So every guest that I have on the show, I have 7 questions that I ask. It's the Black and a Half, world famous 7 questions.
All right.
And that's where one day the title screen will come in. Okay. So let me pop mine. I know them, but I like to look at them while I say them. Here we go. Okay. Number one. What are you most nerdy about?
Ooh, what am I most nerdy about? Oh God, I'm most nerdy about, this reminds me of the time this is a tangent. Is tangent okay?
That's fine.
This reminds me of the time I picked up Jackie Cation from the airport, and she was telling me about her podcast, Dork Forest. She's like, what are you really into? Like, what are you? And I literally like blank. I was like, baby sleep. It's like, I am not interesting. No. I mean, to be honest, what I nerd out about the most is stand-up comedy.
Yeah. Is that what do you deep dive into it? Like history and everything?
Yeah. And I have ADHD. So I kind of deep dive into basically anything that catches my interest at like 2 a.m. So like most recently, I've been very into Instagram exotic pets.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, so what's the thing? Like at Christmas, they know like, oh, go get Jackie something.
That's a really
because
good question.
She's so nerdy about this. She loves that. Is it like they would bring you a stand-up comic? Would they like tie? Are they? Is it a stand-up comedy book? What is it?
I really nerd out about like SNL. Really nerd out. There's a goal. I would love to be on SNL someday. Work 100 hours, 3 kids. How would that work out? We don't need to work out the details now.
No, that's fine.
Love Tina Fey. Love Amy Poehler. I've listened to Tina Fey's book on tape way too many times. It's embarrassing, but yeah.
I will admit my mark of success that I'd put on myself ever since I was a teen, that I said, how will I know if I've made it? And I said, I'm going to say live from New York at Saturday Night. That's a good goal. I would know that I hit success if I ever did that.
Yeah.
And now the clock's ticking. Well, on the show.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Not just randomly. Yeah. So I get, I definitely get that SNL love. Okay. Yeah. Number two. What's something that you love to eat?
Ooh, popcorn. All day, every day. I'm probably malnourished because that is all I eat.
Is it plain? Is it salted? What is your go-to? Oh,
this is my most toxic trait.
Popcorn?
Yes. I will pop like a bag of like home style popcorn in the microwave. I will dump maple syrup on top. I mean, drown
maple.
It.
Okay.
And just stir it up. I'm like, and then I have to have a fizzy with it. I have to have some sort of like LaCroix or something. And that is literally every night after my kids go to bed. That's
the maple syrup. Have you ever tried like maple salt or anything?
No,
like,
but that would be interesting.
I'll have to get your address and send you some. Okay.
Yeah. I'm like a very sensory eater. So it's the crunch. It's the goo. It's like all of it. It's perfect. It's heaven.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, I love that. What's something that you love to drink?
Coffee. That's survival. Coffee is survival. Coffee. All day, every day.
Do you love it or is it like a need, like oxygen? Like, do you do enjoy it? Like, do you have?
Yes, I do. I actually will make, I don't know if you remember during the pandemic, this like kind of made up drink started being popular. It's called like I don't remember what it's called. It's like daffogato or something. Totally not Italian, totally made up. But you basically like, you use a mixer on instant coffee and water and sugar, and it like whips up, and you put it on ice with a little milk. Amazing. You will be wired for like 20 hours, but worth it.
Okay. Number four, what kind of music do you love?
I love like 2000s pop punk. Love it.
Okay.
Love it. Yes.
Like who? Name a band. Or okay, well,
the starting line was one of my favorites. Starting Line. I was a big fan of Simple Plan back in the day. Dashboard Confessional, if we're getting vulnerable here. So basically, everything that I listened to when I was a teenager, I still, that's because when I'm in the car, I don't know any music. I know Baby Shark and Cocomelon. So if I want to listen to something I can connect to, I'm like,
they have my children have destroyed my Spotify end of the year playlist or my daily mixes. Suddenly I'm like, what? Why is Rafi showing up after NPR just played? It's ridiculous.
Like, who's headlining your Spotify festival? Yeah, no.
Yes. Oh my God. Okay. Number five. No, that was number five, right? Yeah. Number six. No, number five. I can't count today. Oh, that was okay. Yeah. Number five. What do you love to create?
Do I love to what?
Create.
What do you love to create? Okay. What do I love to create? Obviously stand up, but let's set that aside and do something different.
Okay.
I love to create moments. I like to like bring friends together for like special times. Like I've thrown like a backyard like summer party that was like, it was like planned to the nines, was like, you know, it looked Pinteresty. Not that I'm that person, but I do stuff like that because I want these magical moments with my friends where it's like, we will remember this forever. And like, nobody has to worry about their kids. Like all the worries are gone. With that being said, I also like creating awkward moments. So if I'm at a restaurant and my favorite song comes on, I'm getting up. I'm going to embarrass like the hell out of my friends.
Does it matter what kind of restaurant you're at?
No, but it's better in like Olive Garden, like, you know, like
look at the drunk girl.
Exactly. Dancing. If I can get that reaction, I've done my job.
Creating moments, is that a draw of stand up for you?
100%. 100%. And I try to be intentional before I go on stage, to not like worry about my set, not worry about the order of my jokes. I try to like take a second and be like, look at the audience and remember, like, these are real people. I want to connect with them and have a moment where, like, just what I was saying, nobody's thinking about the kids. Nobody's thinking about the bills that are late. But we're all just like being able to laugh at me or relatable problems. And it just brings, you know, a sigh of relief. That's what I love. Yeah.
Is there a moment if you're doing a set, I know you just said you're intentional to it, but is there a moment when you do a set that, what's the it moment for you on stage? Is there a reaction that other than just laugh? I mean, is it just a big belly laugh or do you, I haven't seen your comedy. Really?
What if I was like horrible? Years. What if I was like really bad?
This will be really awkward. I'm guessing you're not, for one, because of how much where you're working and the stuff you're doing and you're online, you're funny, but like, what is the, are you trying to create something on stage and specifically like a reaction from the audience? Do you want them just laughing and going, or is there something more?
That's a really good question.
A storyteller or are you a jokey joke? Are you a machine gun comic? What are you?
No, I am a little bit more of a storyteller. I guess I'm like in the middle, but I lean more towards storytelling, like especially like in the past like 3 years of my career, because honestly, like I have so many crazy stories from my life. So I glean a lot from that. And it's therapeutic for me. But I don't know, like while I'm on stage, I don't think I've gotten to the point where I'm like thinking in that way on stage, like in the present. But I will say, like, when there is crowd work that works, like some of my favorite comedians are people who are so present, they're doing crowd work that the audience, like, it's like the audience is doing it with them, like the, as a whole, as a collective, they're all doing the crowd work. And then when they call back to it, it is just like this family inside joke that everybody is rolling about. So I would say, I would say those are the moments that I want to create more. I'm just peeling back the wrapper on that one. Yeah.
You have to get bored with you. Sometimes I think you have to get bored with your comedy a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it makes you find, and you know it so well, you can get back to that. But you're like, I know I got to talk about this thing that's happened right here. We're going to address it and deal with it. And then you get to, you start figuring out how you can use it.
Yeah.
The motor's coming. It's fun. It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like it took me longer to get to that point because of my children. I blame them for my slow growth in comedy.
I know. 100%. Well, it's funny. I've seen this quote so many times. It's like, I can go faster by myself, but I can go further with others.
Yes.
And like, I hold on to that so much because it is like, you do move slower. Like you just do, because it's like, well, Johnny is having his dental work this week and I'm going to be there catching his vomit while, you know, my peers are working their new shit out or whatever. So
you also, they'll end up also with a level of depth that your peers don't.
Right.
Early on, especially, you have more depth because you have more things to talk about than folks that are hitting, able to go to a mic 7 days a week, because then their material is only stuff that they can imagine or be about, right? Because you're living life. What's weird about it, you starting as a mom already and me as a dad, I noticed this at one point. I was doing material not at the skill level of the headliner, but of the life experience of the headliner.
Yeah.
Because the headliners are typically like parents, or they lived as a parent of some sort. The feature is usually engaged, a new husband, a new wife. The host, they're single. Like that's how it is. It's just like in your life, and that's based off your experience. And so I was like, it really was frustrating to feel like I have the life experience of a headliner, but I do not have the skill.
Right.
And I'm touching on the same topics as this headliner. So I need to like, which is not good. So you need to like, oh, I got to bring in other stuff that, so I don't step on their toes or whatever. Cause I can't do married. If I do the married joke, they're just gonna be like, yeah, I'm doing that, man. Shut up. So I like to find, I always like to find headliners that were not, you know, had no life. Number six, what's a game you love to play?
Oh man. I love all games. But I would say anything fast paced. So like Nerds is a card game that I love to play.
What is it? Nerds?
Yeah, it's called Nerds. And it's best when you have like a 10 people playing at the same time.
Okay.
And everybody has their own deck. There's like you play cards in the middle. Everybody's playing their cards. And then the first person is out. And I'm such a quick thinker. Thank you, ADHD, that I would murder that game. I wouldn't like, my whole life would be falling apart behind me. Yeah. I wouldn't have any clean clothes or dishes, but I would win.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good. That's awesome. And number seven, our last question. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say I want to be remembered for, I want to go funny, but I can't think of anything. I want people to truly know me as somebody who loved well, that like I would love it if people were like, she was always like, had a kind word to say. She always like, even though I hadn't seen her in years, she like and I was in trouble, she came out of the woodworks to help me when I really needed somebody. Or, you know, I want to be this type of person who makes people feel loved, makes people like want to reach for higher heights in themselves, and just feels accepted no matter what. That's, yeah, that's what I want.
I like that. Yeah. That's great. Love first.
Do people usually answer that funny?
It's okay. It's a variety. I don't just have comics on here too. So
okay.
Some of them are incapable of giving me a funny answer. But yeah, no, it's all over the place. And it's nice to see people's perspectives on what they are expecting or hoping for themselves.
Yeah.
And maybe this even helps them think about that for the first time and where they want to leave their mark in the world.
Yeah.
So ladies and gentlemen, no, I don't know. Like, here's the big problem. I've got my format, I've got my questions, but I don't know how to end the show ever. I don't know. I need a tagline at the end of the show. Feel free, audience, to suggest it. I always love the enjoy your burrito that Chris Hardwick did, or, you know, that's he's the only one I can think of right now. But
yeah,
I always like that line that ends this podcast. But
that's say, this has been Black and a Half, but this has been a whole podcast.
I might borrow that. Jackie Turgeson.
Yes.
Jackie, thank you so much for coming on and joining me.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And this has been Black and a Half, but it's been a whole podcast. Black and a Half.